So, last week we talked about prayer. And I thought I was done. Prayer's a big subject. Prayer's important. And I'm not talking about you just getting up and saying a couple words to God. Because see, prayer is a conversation to God. A lot of times how many of you ask questions? I do. I ask God lots of questions. Usually it starts out, why? But the reality is God will move. We were talking about that last week. We talked about Dr. David Livingstone and how he talked about the night that he was supposed to be assassinated by a local tribesman. When he got back to Scotland, he discovered that the very night he was to be killed, 39 people were in a church praying for him. And that night, the chief that led the attack said 39 really, really big beings were surrounding his camp. Don't think God won't move. So last week, Angela and I, we coming back from Marion, and she's like, I got something I want you to listen to. Now, if you know me, if it's more than 5 minutes, I'm like, okay. She's like, it'll be done before we're into Mount Gilead. Okay, I can do that, okay? I do have a little bit of short-term attention difficulties. But this woman began to share a testimony. Maybe you've heard it, I don't know. And she talked about how she had been in a car accident and she was killed. And anyhow, she began to say, before this, I was a lukewarm Christian. I said my good little religious prayers. And I just wasn't all that strong. But she said, during this time when I had died, God took me somewhere. And she said, she came to a being, and the being introduced himself as Gabriel. Now, I cannot say without a shadow of any doubt that's real or false. I don't know. I don't know the lady. It's kind of like saying that the little boy who went to heaven and said, heaven is for real, mommy. I believe him. I have no reason not to. And just like this, I have no reason not to believe this lady, because everything that was said in this testimony bore witness with my spirit. She said she went forth and he took her to a prayer. She got to start seeing all these beautiful lights coming up from the earth. And he said, those are the prayers of the saints. See, we think our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling, right? No, our prayers go forth. And I've told you time and time again to pray for your children, your grandchildren. I don't care if you don't have grandchildren yet. Pray for them. And she went in and he started showing her. And she said, they're beautiful colors. And each color was different for the type of prayer that it was. And I've heard people talk about the auras. They've seen auras. I'm not getting into Hinduism. That belief went way back into the early church. If you remember the European paintings we all have that had an aura around people, that you do. We are supposed to be beings of light, not darkness. And she began to see, but she saw how those beams of light, they joined a bigger one. He said, those are the prayers going up and they are mixing themselves with God's word. They are joining the other prayers that have been prayed. We're not the only church praying for our country today. We're not the only ones praying against the child or against human trafficking and the drug trade. And if you're not aware, Ohio is one of the top states for human trafficking. Doesn't seem like it, but we are. And so, but if you remember it, nearly a week or two after every time we've prayed, there's either been a huge drug bust, or there's been a lot of people set free. And it's not because just us. See, you were agreeing with me in prayer. So your agreement in prayer bound up with God's word. He doesn't want anybody to be slaves to, period. He doesn't want anybody slave to another man or slave to a drug. And so we join ourselves with God's word. And she began to see how that was all starting to work. And she said, and he showed me how when you pray. Now, I don't get the backwards thing yet. But he said, your prayer goes forward. It goes into the future. We're not there, are we? But God is. God's not bound by space and time. He's already there. That's why he said he's the Alpha and the Omega. He was at the beginning and he's at the end. He's in it all. So he already knows. And so as we pray and we begin to line ourselves up with his word and we speak forth truth in love, Paul told us in Ephesians, speaking truth in love. That's what we have to do. Not just, well, bless God here, I'm going to correct you. Nope. Time out. Truth in love does not mean you're correcting somebody. It means you're speaking God's word. I am above, not beneath. I am the righteousness of Christ. We all need to see that. I don't care where you are in your walk with God. Whether you feel like you're an insignificant imp in the kingdom, you are the righteousness of Christ simply because of what he did. You have the same rights I have. You may not have the same level of faith. Trust me, it came by walking a very scary road. And it's, I say scary because a few times death was involved and not just mine. It's scary because when you're not driving the truck, how many of y'all don't like somebody else driving? Get your hands up, all you men. people admitting it. I like to be the one in charge of the steering wheel. So Johnny, when I let you drive my truck this summer, you need to know, I was so tired. I like to be in charge. We all really like to be in charge. But God has been helping me to let go. I let my wife drive. You know what? It's your car, you drive. I was going to take a nap. I know, so am I. But our prayers mingle with God's word. But praying forward, you start praying. We begin to pray for our children before we ever had a kid. We begin sowing seed by taking care of another little girl through Compassion International. And we said, this is our seed for our child, for provision. And so we did that. We took one little girl, we got a new one. But our previous one, she was 3 years old. We sponsored her till she was 18 and out of the program. And now we have this little 11-year-old. So if you did the math, she was the same age as Justin, the first little girl, this little girl. This little girl, we're sowing our seed for our grandchildren to get the word. To be provided for. I've only got three, and I still have two more sons. So, that haven't had kids. I got more grandkids on the way. So I'm sowing seed for them, but I'm also praying for them that their parents walk in the ways of the Lord, to teach them to fear God, to be a godly example. See, our prayers need to start lining up with God. Oh, Lord, I just fear for them. What is your fear going to do for them? Let me ask you a question. We all know about Job, right? What did Job's fear get for him? Why was he sacrificing every day? Because he was afraid. He said, for I fear my children may sin. May sin. Not that they were, but that they may sin and die. God had to teach Job about his mercy. The devil killed him. Killed them all. Took everything he owned and gave him boils to boot. And he wouldn't curse God. He whined. We all whine, right? Our feet hurt a little bit. We start whining about our feet. But he did not curse God. His wife even said, curse God and get it over with. Thanks, honey. He corrected himself and blessed the name of the Lord. And his trial ended. And God blessed him above and beyond what he was before. He was a wealthy man before. And if you don't know it, Job was a Gentile. Wasn't a practicing Jew. Was not held under the law. He simply trusted God. Had no Bible to go by. But yet here he is talking to God. God says, where were you when I laid the foundations? Can you call the Leviathan up and speak to it softly and it speak back? Can you do that? Can you undo Orion's belt? No, he couldn't. He needed to be snapped back into place. We all do that. But when we start praying God's word into alignment, our will, see, first off, that's an important thing about praying in the Spirit. The Spirit knows how to pray when we don't. We pray because the Spirit is always walking in love. See, the problem we have, the Bible talks about when that which is perfected, then that which is imperfect goes away. It's talking about knowledge and it said tongues. Those two go away. I'm not saying that they're going to go away in your life ever. But what I'm saying is when you start walking in love, your natural prayer life that you can speak, fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit, goes even more powerful. It's like putting twin turbo charges on a straight six engine. Also called, it's a V6, isn't it? It's called an EcoBoost. I've only driven one. And it got up and moved. Won't give it up over my V8, but God powers our prayer life through the Holy Spirit, through love. We don't pray that God kills the drug dealers and the people smuggling them, do we? We pray that the people they're taking are delivered. And if they're arrested, we've supported ministries that tell them about Jesus, that preach to them the truth. Sometimes prison is the only place people will get it. Our job is not to pray for the death of anybody. And that was something God had to deal with me strongly with. As you all know, the Marines don't teach you to play tiddlywinks with people. First thing they do is teach you how to kill them with your bare hands. And then how to shoot them from 500 yards out. That's how we do it. Took me a while to get over. Lord, just strike them. No, God's got compassion. God doesn't. That's why we prayed for Osama. Even Saddam. As a mere man, they were our enemies. But as a born-again believer, they were a human life destined to eternity without Jesus. Without the presence of God. If you think this life is awful now, wait until there's no presence of God here anymore. It's all evil. Well, it's freedom. I'm free of religion. So am I right now. I'm not bound by religion. There are things I do on a regular basis. One of them is I'm thankful. I thank God, and it's not just a catchphrase. I am thankful for what God does. I thanked him yesterday because when I got up, like I said, my glasses were kind of like that. That lens was somewhere in the wood pile, and I stood up, and I got my eye closed, and I'm like, Lord, please let me be able to see out that eye. Because when I hit, there was a bright flash of white light, and I opened my eye, and I could see. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. And as I did that, I was like, ooh, I feel something warm. Oh, yep, I'm bleeding. And dealt with that. And I still had to go back and shut that door, which is what I'd started to do. But I was grateful. Our prayers coupled with thankfulness, gratitude, are powerful. I told you last week, out of 10 lepers that were healed, only one came back and thanked him. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Where are they at? They did their religious thing and went away. He came back and he knelt before the Lord and he said, thank you. And you need to understand, leprosy encompasses a lot of things, a lot of different diseases. And if you had it, I mean, if you got a zit, you were out of the camp. Think about that for a second. In your teenage years, I bet there weren't no teenagers. Although they didn't have all the sugars and stuff that kind of helped fuel ours. But as we pray and we give thanks, it couples with God and he can move more mightily. Almost 2 years ago now, I ran into my cousin at an unfortunate funeral for our aunt. And we were talking. I hadn't seen him since 1981. I was 10. We used to play together all the time. And we grew apart. And we got to talking. And so my only memory, I've shared this, that I have about my grandfather was running around his chair in the living room. Big old living room, West Virginia. Running around that chair, me and my cousin. I did the math and realized I was 3. Hadn't turned 4 yet. And we're running around there. Me and him had just got cap guns at the grocery store. And we're... and we're chasing each other. You know, my dad came from a large family, and they were all there. 14 that lived. Or no, 14 total, 11 that lived. There's 11 of his children, plus all of their children. The house was full. And you know what it can be like when you're in a house with a lot of kids, especially when you're older. You're like, I think I'm going to go to the basement and hide. But my grandfather didn't. He sat in that chair and he watched us as we ran. And my uncle and my dad both, you guys knock that off. Leave grandpa alone. The only words I remember, you leave them alone. As a grandfather, I get it. Two things that I didn't think about. The other, I'd forgot about, but my cousin remembered it. My grandfather was a new Christian, and he was dying. He was dead a month later. But as we stood there by his legs, he laid hands on us and prayed. My family's not known for preachers. Con artists, womanizers, drunkards, drug addicts, rabble rousers, you name it. But not anybody that preaches the word. And God has been able to give me the opportunity to talk to them, to share with them at these funerals. So, your prayers matter. Your prayers are going into the future of your great-grand. We've got, is it just greats? I think so far we're at great-grandparents. I know both of you could be great-great-grandparents. In the event, we're not praying that happens to you, but think about the generations that you can pray for now, and you can pray for the future generations. Why? Because God's already there. Somebody prayed for you. My grandfather on my maternal side was, my grandfather was not, he was an alcoholic, not a good man. I've learned that he battled depression since he was 3. Because that's when his dad died. But my grandmother was a spirit-filled believer, and she prayed for her grandchildren. And I can vaguely remember, she was around till sometime in the mid-70s. And she was back in the day when they wore their hair up in a big thing and wore the dresses, and beautiful woman. But she prayed for her children. And not all of them served God. But a few of them did. But she prayed for her grandchildren. And somebody prayed for her. Just like somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for your mom. Or your dad. My great, 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 whatever grandfather was a deacon in the church. We didn't know that my family ever believed in God. They might have believed in God in a religious way, but they didn't believe God to serve him, to find out he was a deacon in the church. I had hope for my family. We're not total heathens, just a little, but not complete. There's still that prayer that even he would have prayed. See, we get our minds wrapped around it's only right now. But it's not. Your legacy does not stop with you. Your legacy keeps going with every generation. You may not have ever met them, and they may not really ever get to know your name. I didn't know my great-great-grandfather's name until late 90s, early 2000s. Never knew his name. And here he served God. His legacy lived on. Why? Because his prayers lived on. Every word we speak, every word you've spoken does not die when it comes out of your mouth. Right? If you speak evil to someone, you tear somebody down, that word lives on in them forever. I don't care what happened. They have to choose to forgive. But the devil will stir that up. Just like he always comes back at you with your sin. And I know everybody says, well, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of your future. That's called reviling. And the Bible says even Moses didn't do that. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Get behind me. Bible tells us not to let any corrupt word. Now, I've talked about this before. It's not just talking about you going out and cussing. I'm going to tell you right now, the word corrupt means dead, rotten. I had to look that up. Corrupt. Oh, yeah, I know what corrupt is. No, corrupt means it is gangrenous. It is filled with vile. If you've ever gotten a hold of a piece of meat that was bad, y'all know what I'm talking about. You're like, okay, you can start smelling it, but if you put it on your tongue, your body instantly tries to reject it. That's what it's talking about, is words that go out and they're not bringing life. So when you're praying, God, bring them justice. I pray for justice, not just for them, but for that person. Because guess what? That person who did the crime, there's a reason. Something happened to them, most likely. We've come to realize this. But the church said, oh, no, the church, they didn't do that. No, they did it because they were abused as a child. They are the way they are because of their upbringing. God, give them justice and have mercy. Show them your love for them. Deliver them from what they're doing. Don't sit there and say, oh, you're just a vile person. I saw, I can't remember, who's the guy that you like to watch, Justin, dark-haired guy, young guy? He always goes to colleges. Ben, is it Ben Shapiro? Okay, I saw a clip with him the other day, and he was talking to this young girl who's in the porn industry. By her looks, I don't think she was beyond 20. She says, I like doing it. I like for people to watch. 20-year-old girl. He just sat there, unfazed. And I believe he listened to the Holy Spirit, and he asked her, how is your relationship with your father? She said, I don't have one. I don't have a relationship. And she shut up. See, everybody else jumped on and they're all the religious sides over here criticizing her and judging her for that. And the way out left field side is saying, go girl, go girl. And all Ben said was, what's your relationship like with your father? It's not good. I don't have one. She couldn't, and she instantly, her demeanor changed. See, instead of praying hellfire and brimstone on people, if we start praying compassion, I'm not saying what they're doing is right. I'm saying, understand, there's a reason why they acted out. I had reasons for why I did things. Sometimes y'all remember when you're a child and you do something and you know, mom or dad or teacher maybe said, why did you do that? I don't know. You didn't want to tell them the real reason. I wanted to see if it would blow up. That's definitely not the right response today. There was a reason why you did it. It may be stupid. I know why I did what I did, but I did it. I did it. I control my actions and reactions. And once I start learning to control those, God can begin to speak. And as I've grown in my walk with the Lord, I've been able to look at people. I used to be so critical. We all were. Let's just be honest. We can all be so critical. You can be critical of the girl on the bus who's got way too much makeup on till you find out she's being raped at home. And she's covering it up. Or the guy who comes on and he's nothing but a bully. And you find out his dad beats him. See, compassion. Compassion doesn't say, you know, it's okay for you to keep being a bully. Compassion starts letting you understand so you can start praying. Lord, show me how I can pray for them. How can I pray for that girl? How can I pray for this young man? Religion teaches us to be critical, judgmental. Religion says when somebody comes in and they've got too much makeup on in the church, they're a Jezebel. Jezebels don't operate that way, folks. They do not operate that way. There's so much we have going on. We are, I believe, in the last of the last days in the body of Christ. I believe we're going to start seeing more and more things happening. You know, I hear it a lot. I hear a lot of people saying, and I agree, we need to start putting some money here in this country. But just so you know, I've got friends in Ukraine. And Luda put a picture or a video on yesterday morning in Kiev. She lives in Kiev, of an explosion that lit up the entire sky. So when we say, well, we don't have no business. Well, yes and no. We have businesses. We're blessed by God in this country. But I'm going to make a prediction. You're going to see that war back off. We're going to start seeing money sent to North Carolina. We've sent money. We've sent heaters. We sent water, baby diapers, and things of that nature right off the bat. We're just a small church. But we're mighty in God because we can pray. And, oh, by the way, it's not the government's job. It's ours. Body of Christ. Should our government, if we're going to give anybody else relief? Absolutely. Remember the friend I told you that gave me the word instead of the $50? Said, I ain't got no money to give you, but I got God's word. That's where they live. They live up in that neck of the woods, literally. So, yeah, it affects all of us. Well, I don't have a dog in that fight. Well, it don't matter what dog you got in what fight. You live in this country, pick up your share of it. Pray. Okay, I don't have money to send. Great. You pray. There are more billionaires in this world than you can shake a stick at now. Think about that. Billionaires. Once you get up to 999,000, then you get one more dollar, and you're $1 billion. One. What's Elon Musk worth? Is it 107 now? Bezos, Buffett, all these guys are worth billions. And I get it. Some of it's wrapped up in assets. I believe that when God gives you much, he expects much. God has given us faith. See, that was one thing about her prayer. She said, I noticed some of them weren't quite as brilliant. Some of them were exuberant colors, but then some of them weren't quite the same. And Gabriel told her, these are the prayers where they're weak in faith. See, there was a man that came to Jesus whose son said, The devil comes upon him and throws him in the fire. Sound like an epileptic spirit. And the disciples couldn't do nothing about it. And he said, your disciples couldn't do anything about it. And he said, well, this type only comes out by prayer and fasting. Well, let's understand something. It's not the demon. It's the faith. Prayer and fasting produces faith, which patience and love are huge parts of that. And Jesus told it to come out. But he said, do you believe? And he said, yes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And the Holy Spirit did. And God moved. He never got reprimanded because he had small faith. The disciples did. Why? Because they had been there time and time and time again. If you keep seeing the same thing time and time and time again, God's saying, where is your faith? Twice they had to be rescued in their own boat. God will move on your faith in your prayers when you start coupling it with his love and speaking his word. Well, God, I don't know if you want good things for me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, behold, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of a future and a hope. I want to give you a future and a hope. Do you want a future and a hope? Yes. But my future doesn't just end with me. It goes on through Joshua and Carter and Carter's son and Jesse and Justin. It goes on through all of my children. It doesn't stop with me. That's my future. I'm on this planet for X amount of years. That's it. God knows how many. He knows my days. And anytime I've tried to check out early, he has stopped. Stopped the Grim Reaper. But you see, your prayers matched with your faith, which is fueled by your love. So I was able to pray for Dave. I know him. I know what he's battling. I know what's up against him. I didn't pray, God, break his knees. No, Lord, help him to overcome this thing. It's telling him he's all right when he needs Jesus more and more in his life. Because this world is only going to get darker. But understand something. When it gets darker out there, guess what happens? We become brighter. It's an automatic thing. You can have a teeniest, tiniest little light. You flicker that thing up in the night. That is why we were taught, and I know they still teach it, you don't turn on a flashlight at night. And if you do, you better have a red lens. Remember MASH? All the headlights seemed like they were squinting at you. Teeny tiny amount of light. Here's the crazy part. They don't even do that anymore. They got this, you know, ever since actually Vietnam, they got this stupid little 12-volt light. It's actually, and it's got a slit this wide, and it's got a hood over it, and it shines 3 feet in front of the truck. You can't see it. Same thing with your taillights. You can barely see them. That's why during Desert Storm, more people were actually killed by motor transport, which is what I was in, because of accidents. They couldn't see the trucks. The lights are so dim that you had to drive so close in order to see the truck. But you see, if you were at the right distance, it shone. I prefer to be like this nice little, I don't have it with me, this little Nebo flashlight I've got. It's rechargeable. I love it. It's expensive for what it is. I can turn it on and I can shine it 100 yards out in the field behind my house. That long. That big around. Beats the pants off any mag light I've ever had. But it's more powerful. It's brighter. That's what I want to be. I want to be rechargeable. Come to church, get my faith stirred up. That's what this does. It stirs up the love, which stirs up our faith. And when our faith is stirred up, that no matter what the devil may bring you, and he will bring you something. Jesus said, I hope that you would have no opportunities to fall. Offenses. I'll get the right word. He said, I wish it were possible, but it's not. Offenses are traps. There's something waiting for you. So when you're dealing with all of that, operate in love. I don't care who just betrayed you. You're going to deal with something, maybe some anger. Bible says we can be angry and sin not. But when you start destroying people, you just crossed the line. God has showed me that personally in my own life. People, because I thought, well, this is what being a good Marine's about. I just destroyed him. It's not what he needed. Looking back, he was living up to somebody else's expectations of who he should be. He was always trying to impress people because his daddy couldn't be impressed with him. You're never going to be as good as me. I've told all my boys, I said, I hope that you're richer than me. I hope you're more successful than me. That is my goal for you. But I know that if you're going to live and you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to walk a walk. You're going to have to step out on that tightrope. And there's no net. Because God's not going to let you to fall if you're in with what he said to do. None of you. If you're in obedience with God's will, he won't let you fall. All right, let's stand. Here's your challenge. This weekend you pray. Things you're going to see, things you're going to hear. Start looking at them through the eyes of love. See them how God sees them. When I quit looking at people how I naturally would see people and started looking at how God sees them, their countenance changed. Their faces changed. I was like, huh. Did you do something different? Now, ladies, I see that you changed your hair or you might have something a little different. I ain't going to say nothing. I just prefer to, let's not stir that pot up. But I see things. I think start to change. And sometimes it's even your own confidence in yourself and who God has made you. I'm not my father. Justin is not me. That's all there is to it. And I expect my boys to rise to the challenge that God set before them to be who they are. Me? I've been all over the place, done a lot of things. Wouldn't have any different. Met a lot of neat people. Got to pray for a lot of people. Learned a lot. Friday, while getting my oil changed, I learned how to make bourbon and cigars through the car salesman. And we started talking about the Corvette that I was looking at. By the way, if I ever win the lottery, you're not knowing, but there will be one sign. And it will be silver. God is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your love for all of us. You don't have any more love for me than you do for anybody else. So Lord, I thank you. You love us all the same. And that the things I've been through, you'll do for them too. And the things that they've been through and conquered, you'll do for me. Lord, I pray that you help us all in our prayer life to speak your word. Just as in creation, you said you created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And our scientists say there are universes still being created. Your word from the beginning went forth and it's still in action. Father, I thank you that you have a good hope for us. You have a desired end. Father, help us all to follow your will. Help us to listen to your voice, to move through your Holy Spirit with compassion, with confidence, Lord God. And may it always be tempered with your love. And now, Father, I thank you for all these people. Lord God, I bless them. I pray you move mightily in their lives, Father, especially their prayer lives. Father, may this week alone, they see such a significant change that, Father, that the joy of talking to you will return to them. In Jesus' name, amen.